welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, we have the pleasure of talking with Pamela Hettinger and her partner, Claudia Frisky. They've been together for 17 years. Welcome, you two.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yes, thank you very much.
Pamela is a massage therapist and has her own business. She does like massage surrounded by redwood trees, and we'll learn more about that. Mm-hmm. And Claudia works for a communications company. We're not going to name that communications company by request, and it's fine. And also, Pamela recently went on a soul-altering retreat, and we're going to learn about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Do stay tuned as we learn about the lives of Claudia and Pamela and how they navigate the world. Mm-hmm. But first, here's news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, October 4th, 2015. The Vatican on Friday distanced Pope Francis from Kim Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky who was jailed by a federal judge for defying the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. The Vatican spokesman, Reverend Federico Lombardi, said the Pope met with several dozen people at the Vatican's embassy in Washington just before leaving for New York. Lombardi said such meetings are normal on any Vatican trip and are due to the Pope's kindness and availability. He said the Pope really had only one audience in Washington, one with his former students and his family. The Pope did not enter into details about the situation with Mrs. Davis, and his meeting with her should not be considered a form of support of her position in all of its particular and complex aspects, end quote. Davis told ABC News, just knowing that the Pope is on track with what we're doing and agreeing, you know, it kind of validates everything. The Vatican statement made clear the Pope intended no such validation. However, Davis's lawyer, Matt Staver, told the Associated Press that the Vatican initiated the meeting as an affirmation of her right to be a conscientious objector. Staver said, "We wouldn't expect the Pope to weigh in on such particulars of any case." He added that Vatican personnel initiated the meeting on September 14th, the day she returned to work, saying the Pope wanted to meet her. He said Vatican security picked her and her husband up from their hotel and told her to change her hairdo so she wouldn't be recognized since the Vatican wanted to keep the meeting secret. Staver disputed a Vatican spokesman's claims that the Pope only met with Davis in a receiving line. He said the couple was in a separate room with the Pope and Vatican personnel. News of the meeting sent shockwaves through the U.S. church, with Davis's supporters saying it showed the Pope backed her cause and opponents questioning whether the Pope had been duped into meeting her. Initially, the Vatican only reluctantly confirmed the meeting but offered no comment. As he left the country, Pope Francis told reporters that he defended conscientious objection as a human right. He said, quote, "It is a right, and if a person does not allow others to be a conscientious objector, he denies a right." And here locally, the Sonoma County Rural Transgender Community Conference, Trans Life Building Our Community, will happen on Saturday, October 17th from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Santa Rosa Community Health Center in Santa Rosa. Admission is free, but of course donations are gladly accepted. The transgender community, their loved ones, and family are welcome to this inaugural community event, which will be the first ever conference event for transgender individuals in the North Bay. You can get information on legal issues, advocacy, and networking opportunities geared specifically for the trans community. There will be hands-on resources that you can use right away. Representatives from multiple organizations will be on hand with information on social, legal, economic, and health services that are available locally. The organizers also built in some fun social opportunities to get to know others. You'll leave with a new appreciation of the diversity and strength of the trans community and immediate connections to resources and support. This will be an inclusive space for anyone on the trans spectrum or who is questioning. This umbrella includes individuals who identify as transgender, genderqueer, gender fluid, or questioning. The event includes lunch. Spanish interpretation services will also be available. The Sonoma County Rural Transgender Conference, Trans Life, is on Facebook. You can look for them there, as well as to find the link to register. And you can also find a link on our website at outbeatnews.com. Just click on show notes at the top of the page and look for our show last month, where we interviewed Dr. Tsuji, one of the organizers. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, October 5th at 2 p.m., the Sonoma General LGBT Support Group will happen at the Sonoma Community Center, 276 East Street in Sonoma. And on Tuesday, October 6th at 10 a.m., the Napa Valley Older Adults Discussion Group will happen at the Queen of the Valley Community Outreach Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And finally, on Sunday, October 11th, local singer-songwriter Bobby Joe Valentine will be performing a concert benefiting Positive Images, Sonoma County's premier LGBT youth organization. Bobby Joe will be performing for the first time all of his new and original music from his latest CD titled Fox Eyes, Whale Heart. The concert will start at 2 p.m. at the Thanksgiving Lutheran Church in Santa Rosa. Tickets are $15 and available at the door. And if you haven't heard Bobby Joe sing before, this is a great opportunity. He's really quite amazing. And happening right now on KRCB-TV is the Wine and Epicurean Auction. You can bid on wine, amazing food and dining experiences, and much more while supporting KRCB-TV and radio with local programming like Outbeat. The auction is on the air until 11 p.m. tonight and will continue next weekend, October 9th through the 11th from 7 to 11 p.m. You can also bid for items online at krcb.org. Just click on auction. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And welcome back, everyone. This is Sheridan. I'm here with Diana, my co-host and wife, and we're in studio with Pamela and Claudia, together for 17 years. Mm-hmm. Before we start talking with Claudia and Pamela, I wanted to let everyone know that we have one more event to talk about, to tell you about. And that is Diana and I. We are in a spoken word rap music drumming flute group called Sisters Rising. And we have a concert coming up October 17th, which is a Saturday. And it's going to be held at Miss Daisy's Magical Musical Wonderland. And that's 790 Hurlbut in Sebastopol. If you would like a phone number to get more information, you can call Miss Daisy at 707-478-7419. Diana has written a lot spoken word pieces, and we drum to them, and then one of our members, Phoenix, puts a rap to them, and we have a lot of fun. I hope you can come out. It's empowerment for women and girls and for men who love them. So please come out, support Sisters Rising. Saturday, October 17th. The show starts at 6 o'clock. So anyway, we're back in studio with Pamela and Claudia.
Hey.
Here we are. So let's start with, let the audience get kind of a feel to who you are. So let's start about, Pamela, why don't you start about talking about the Redwoods and the work that you do under the Redwoods.
Well, I've been a massage therapist for 26 years, and I've been working out of the Highlands Resort in Guerneville, which has been predominantly a gay, straight-friendly resort. And I work when the weather's warm enough, I work in the middle of a 15-tree redwood grove that took probably 1,500 years to form. And so when you're lying on the table and I leave after your massage, you get to look up at a beautiful canopy. Sometimes the osprey come through, sometimes some squirrels come on in and a blue jay comes to talk to them, and it's just a very eco-friendly environment. I've worked with probably every sexuality known to man.
Some we probably don't even know about, right?
Yeah, some. and some that didn't even have gender as well. Mm. And so it's been, and having been there through the many years of the AIDS crisis and things like that, it's been quite a journey and in terms of the different people that I've worked with. You know, there's different people that have come through that come back and they're on their last legs and they want to have a massage in the Redwood Grove before they go. And so I might escort them and their partner down to the Grove and work with them. And they just want to be there as close to nature as they can be before they pass. And we may have to escort them back up the hillside to get to their room for a little bit. But it's been very heartwarming and very... I love my work, and there's a depth to it I cannot even begin to describe in terms of some of the things that I've worked with over the years. And then there's always the person, just give me a rub. Okay, fine. No. But it's the deeper work that's really been important to me.
Deeper as far as what? The strength or just the heartfeltness?
What people hold in their bodies is definitely, mm-hmm. you know, the tale of their history. And somatically, it's always told me different things about them that they may not say in terms of accident injury. There's a psychosomatic thing in terms of the way some people walk and the gait that they have. And you can sometimes tell some of the trauma that's been in their lives. It's a very delicate balance to touch any of that material without consent. And when you're in an occupation that is not psychologically based, I have a big boundary around that. In terms of, I may ask open-ended questions, but mm-hmm. it certainly is up to the person to begin to reveal things about themselves, other than what's taking place in their body and accidents, injuries, or medications. I mean, those are the different kinds of things that I will ask about.
What type of massage?
I'm trained in about 12 different modalities.
Uh-huh.
And actually got into body work after doing quite a lot of intuitive work prior to it. So it's kind of the body was the last thing for me to just kind of bring everything full circle in terms of personal growth and inquiry, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. It usually is the house that's going to tell the tale, you know, and it's usually the place we have to go back to heal anything from previously. And so it's been a very interesting intersection and body of work.
Yeah, I love the way you talk about it. I can feel the heartfeltness.
Oh, yeah.
In the work. 26 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Says a lot. Seeing eye hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question. I was intrigued when you were talking about people who come to you who are on their way to transitioning to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that you have to handle them quite delicately.
It's light touch to no touch, and there's quite a bit of emotion that's there as well. So sometimes it's talking. A lot of it is the listening. Sometimes it's them needing to be held in a way that is not necessarily somebody that is really going to be tremendously impacted by their passing. It's almost like the nurses at a hospice circumstance are very objective. They're very warm and friendly, but they're not the person who's being left behind by that person. So it's a little bit different. It's don't get me wrong, I have to go to the ocean afterwards and do butterflies in the sand and kind of let go of some things that touched me very deeply about the circumstance, but it's
And tell me what butterflies in the sand. What do you mean by that?
Butterfly, like you would do in the snow. Just lay down and do butterflies in the sand.
So you lay down and you make
you
your
move
arms.
My arms go back and forth and my feet go back and forth, and it's like there's salt, there's the ocean, and it's like, you know, purify, and you can handle it a whole lot better than I can. It's just giving it back over.
Ah.
And letting it go through me, not get it stuck.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the importance of the work, is what's mine is mine and what's theirs is theirs. And don't get me wrong, there's times that it really touches me and it's like, okay, I got to go do something with this, you know, for myself.
Way to take care of yourself. It's important. Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Maybe since you're on it right now, why don't you give your website so people can take a look at the canopy and stuff.
It's massageintheredwoods.com. It's pretty easy to get to. You know, certainly there's a back page, get in touch, and it gives you all the different kinds of services that are available. I do hot healing stones, which is actually using crystals and mineral stones and not just little black rocks.
We won't go there.
No, you know, yeah, really, rocking on the river, you know, I mean, come on. And, you know, but it's kind of an interesting thing that it goes back to, the heating of stones goes back to actually heating them up to put them into the base of your bed to get your sheets warm and coal burners and things. And it's like, it's an old, old thing, but there's so many gimmicks they've got these days. I don't go for them. I want something that's genuine and authentic, you know, and really that's been my emphasis.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And Claudia, my dear, so tell us about what you do, what your life, what your job is.
Well, I'm with a telecommunication company. I've been there close to 35 years. Looking to transition into what I call the next chapter of my life, where I don't punch a clock anymore. And looking for, I guess, who I am. You know, the next part of what's me, I told Pamela, I feel like perhaps our music might start to come back in our lives when I can let go of a lot of the things I feel corporate brings to you.
When is that going to be? How long?
About 28 months, maybe a little less, a little more, depending how everything goes.
But you can see the end.
See the-
I can. Uh-huh. And some days it's hard because I'd like to start that journey. But I can be patient. It's so close. Mm-hmm. I can be patient. And I just see a whole bunch of new avenues opening up for Pamela and I to be able to travel and to spend more quality time together.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So your jobs are quite opposite. So I'm assuming you run your own business, right, Pamela?
Yes, I do.
And now, Claudia, you're talking about being part of corporate and punching a time clock. And how does that work in your relationship? I mean, how do you navigate that freedom and openness of a massage therapist and somebody who works for a communications company that has to be corporate and act a certain way, I guess? Or how is that for you, Claudia?
I would say we've done pretty good. It's gotten a lot better over the last maybe 5 or 6 years for us. Early on in our relationship, it was difficult because her busiest times are weekends, and that's when I would be available. So that was really challenging for about 7 or 8 years in our relationship. I would actually kind of get a little grumpy and crabby about it sometimes. But I've learned to accept that her job and her position is very different than what I do. And we've learned to actually keep our separate lives. And when we can create time for each other, we do that so that we can enjoy each other at the time when we can create time for one another. And if she has a free weekend, I'm real excited, you know. Mm-hmm. It just opens up avenues for us to go do things and be with other people or just with each other. Mm-hmm. And
so
it's different. It's different, but I think we've done well over the last few years of really making it blend for the two of us. Because I'm very linear and she's very creative. And that in itself can be a challenge.
Yeah, reaching levels of understanding sometimes. It's like, I know we're talking about the same thing, but we really have to kind of work it out. And we are talking about the same thing, but from very different languages at times. Mm. And some of it also in terms of our spending time together. For me, it's been creating greater boundaries for myself and getting a little stronger in my own boundaries. So we have time and clients have time and my time's not just up for grabs. because at first we weren't in the relationship when I started into this business, so it was like I had a career and that was that. So it made it, you know, you bring somebody new into your life and you start doing what you need to do to negotiate and navigate that so that you have time, quality time to spend together.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And suck face. Mm-hmm. No.
So in 28 months, life's going to change for the both of you. And so what is this music? I haven't heard about music. What kind of music are you interested in doing together?
You know, we haven't really bridged that. I used to play music. Years ago, I was in a group called Woman Song, and we played throughout the Bay Area.
What did you do? What did you play?
I play my Martin and guitar, and I also play piano. Oh. And I wrote about 33 songs, and we were playing throughout the Bay Area and having people turn the mic off on us because we were talking about women loving women and, you know, not being able to find a home. I mean, one of the lines I had in there was, "A Statue of Liberty is turned to stone. Women loving women cannot find a home." And we're singing at Ghirardelli Square and, you know, all the at happy hour and an open mic. And the guy at the MC there decides to turn our mics off. So we get with our guitars and we go down into the crowd and just keep singing. Nobody was walking out on us. It wasn't bad music. It was just we were singing about topics that were hard for people to hear, and particularly the MC. Right. And we're talking about the mid-70s at that point in time. So I was a pretty big rebel rouser in terms of we had Anita Bryan out there and Briggs and all of those. You had gay rights, women's rights, all kinds of things were on the chopping block at the time. And so, I have a background in music, and I was with that group for maybe about 8 years and really haven't picked it up since. Mm. And after doing this workshop that I went through, it's coming back around, and I may rewrite some of those songs so they're not so... So they have a different transitional kind of thing or transformational kind of thing rather than so they were so much in the heat of the rebellion. It was like we were singing at rallies. I mean, you know, so you're not trying to get people transformed. You're trying to get them to listen.
Wow.
And
powerful.
Get them to move.
You've been getting passionate in here. That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we haven't even explored pulling both of our guitars out.
Claudia, you play too.
Yeah. I learned how to play through a wonderful friend. I don't know if people remember her, Betty Kapowitz. She has been out and about for a very long time with her and her partner being an artist. And wonderful woman. And they've moved to another state now, so I haven't had touch with them. But, yeah, I learned how to play because I just enjoy music.
Good for
I us. Haven't done it in a long time, but we're definitely talking and looking at it again, and I think it'll fit more fully in our lives as time goes on.
Oh, oh, beautiful. She just said you had a good voice.
Mm-hmm. I can.
Okay. Look in the future, y'all. Be ready for this couple.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of couples, let's talk about your 17 years. Like, when did you meet? Where did you meet? How did you meet? Mm. When, where, and how?
Why?
Why?
And who?
Go ahead.
I actually met Pamela years before I got involved with her when she was part of another series of workshops called The Female Principal, I believe it was named.
Yep.
Yes. And I had attended a couple, I think I'd gone to two or three different ones. They were like 3 or 4 day weekends. And they did a lot of workshops working on one's spirituality, or if you were healing things in your life, there were workshops for that. They had a night of entertainment.
Talent show, yeah.
There was a talent show. And it just was a wonderful way to bring women from every background together. It was straight, gay, bisexual, you know, anyone who was there to want to heal and grow and make changes in their life. And that's probably when we first met. And as far as actually getting together, that was kind of a result of me moving up here. She had worked on me before as a massage therapist, and I can't recommend her highly enough. She's excellent, one of the best I've ever had, and that has nothing to do with our relationship. It's just she's a very good therapist. And how did it happen? I'm not really sure.
Well, Dorothy and Alex introduced us because you needed work. And your back had gone into a spasm at that point in time, and you were seriously, you needed some work at the time. And so I came over to the house and worked with her a couple of times at that point, and then I would come back and forth, and the three of them would be sitting there watching Xena, and I really didn't want to watch Xena, but I kept seeing her, and then we started talking about people we knew in common from the female principal psychic workshop, and that was, what do I want to say, she was in the group of the Amazons, and I was one of the facilitators, so it was like we were in very different worlds. So we didn't get to know each other then. So then when we start talking, it's like, oh, you know that person too? And that person and that person. So then the conversation just kind of opened up and, you know, and then it went on from there. And just curiosities of, you know, having been in the same general vicinity and not really having met or talked with one another prior to that. It was like, whoa.
We knew of each other, and I also think along the way we were both involved in other relationships at different times. And we haven't even talked about that in depth, even over all the years we've known one another. But it's, I think when it finally happened, neither one of us was involved with anybody, and we had been, you know, just out in the world living. And I guess it was time for us to meet and get to know each other more intimately. It's about the only way I could put it, really. Mm-hmm. So I knew her for quite a few years off and on.
Mm-hmm. And the first couple of years were, you know, I think for both of us, if I'm, you know, you correct me if I'm wrong, honey, were, we had been in so many different sorts of relationships that we were a little jaded. And the idea of commitment was real important to both of us, but that trust level that comes with, you know, are you with me only or vice versa, is something it took a little time between us to really develop. It wasn't that either of us were straying or looking. Mm-hmm. It's just within our own histories, you know, it's like, you know, do I really, you know, am I ready for something like this, for one? And you know, second of all, is this a person? And I think that just comes in time of just moving into deeper and deeper levels of trust and truthfulness with yourself as well. You know, you've always got to put yourself in there. You know, so then she bought a house and we moved in together.
That did it, huh? Buying the house?
No, we were in the house.
We were living together first.
Yeah, we were.
She moved into a place I was renting from friends of mine.
Yeah.
But she did help me find a place. And it's grown from there. Mm-hmm. It's been work because I've probably been in every kind of relationship or multiple, open, closed, you name it. I've probably explored it all in my life. And I got to a point where I was ready to be more settled and have a sense of security. And even to this day, and I don't know if other people go through this, but every once in a while I'll have a little, not having a good day, and I'll go, should I be concerned? And her response is always,
oh, no,
dear. And, you know, that's really all it takes now for me to hear from her is, no, dear, we're good. And that trust and that bond becomes strong again. Because you all have moments, you know, where you doubt what's going on or where you're at. And it might just be you're having a bad day in life, you know, and you need that reassurance.
It's like, no, honey, it's fine.
Well, I've also learned to ask better for what I need, and I think that's an important part in building a relationship with someone is if you're not feeling secure, then to step up and go, well, dear, I'd like to talk about this. Where are we? How are you feeling? Or I'll express You know, I'm not feeling real solid today. Where are we? How are we doing? And usually we can talk about it.
How did you build that muscle? Because this is really important what you're talking about, you know, because of Pamela, who she is as a person, were you able to?
She's a great listener. And I'll be honest with you, she's the person who's probably stuck through me because I can have kind of a fiery personality at times. And it takes somebody strong, I think, to be with me. And Pamela, I think, has weathered through that better than most over the years. And I appreciate that about her. Plus her laughter. Her laughter has kept me strong and I think has kept our relationship really vital.
Nice.
Because I tend to be more serious. Mm-hmm. You might call me, this might sound kind of weird on this show, but the straight person in the relationship. Because I tend not to laugh and chuckle like she does. I tend to just kind of smirk and look quietly onward.
You know. She gets my giddiness much more earlier in the morning than she used to. I wake up with it.
That's great. I love laughter. I mean, a good hard laugh. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Well, this is a good time for us to explore the song that you brought. And maybe you could introduce it, Pamela, to our listeners. And we'll take a little music break. And then when we return, we're going to talk more about your relationship and the retreat that you attended and how that's changed you and your relationship. So if you could tell us about the song you brought to us tonight.
The song I brought tonight is by Chris Williamson, and it's called Sisters. And it's one of those songs that over the years I've experienced it in so many different ways of women coming together in community and in a very loving and open-hearted manner. And so grab hold of your love's hand and swing them in the air and go for it.
help you ease your pain.
Oh, we were just in the studio reminiscing about that song.
Oh my gosh.
That came out in the 70s, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, Chris Williamson, Sister. It's on YouTube. All this time, we had a 33 album of that music with Meg Christian and Linda Tillery. And I lent all my 33 albums to a friend, and now I don't have that friend anymore. And so the albums, you know how that is. They just disappear, right?
Yes.
With the friendship. But we found this on YouTube. I mean,
I'm going to get it.
Oh, that was so nice.
Yum.
Thank you for bringing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
It was nice singing here with you guys, too.
I know that was really fun. And hopefully the audience, people who remember that song, you know, they were singing it as well. So anyways, so we're talking about your relationship, how long you've been together. And so let's talk about your coming out. You have a coming out stories? When did you come out?
For myself, okay. I would say I probably blossomed at the age of 21 for myself. I was aware of my sexuality on some level in my teens. I knew I had kind of infatuation with women when I was in college. And they used to just think that we were great friends, but I used to dream of bigger things and didn't really understand what that was about, to be honest with you. I didn't have a lot of role models. I'm originally from the Midwest, and I just kind of figured it out, I guess, as life went along. I think I had my first kiss under a Christmas tree, helping to decorate it with a good friend of mine. And from there, I slowly just tried to figure it out, I think, as we all do when you don't have role models, you know. And I learned to trust and ask and sometimes act on my impulses to maybe hold somebody or to hug them. And I just took whatever came my way as life went forward, put it that way. I crossed a lot of different paths and a lot of different venues, I guess would be a best way to describe the people I got to know in my life. But that was pretty much it for me. And I have to tell you, the first person that I had the biggest crush on, she was from the South. And I met her visiting at a softball tournament. And I used to write her day after day, people. It was pretty amazing. But it ended up just being a relationship by letters and phone. And we never truly got together, but she was the one who really opened my eyes and made me see that there was something more out there than what I had been shown and taught.
She was so important to you, Claudia.
She was. She was a lot older than me, too. Mm-hmm. And her name was Dolly, and she was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. And what about you, Pamela?
Oh, I was probably about 17. I had gone away to college right out of high school. I think there were inklings when I was in high school. I kept myself very busy by either being a cheerleader or in GAA. And So
what's GAA?
Girls Athletic Association.
Oh.
So they didn't know exactly what to make of me. Either I was a tomboy or I was a girly girl. You know, who knows? And every time the sport changed, I changed the boy that I was going out with at that point in time. When I got to college, my roommate actually had been somebody from my junior high that we decided to be roommates. And then she introduced me to a friend of hers, Leslie. Well, Leslie and I both had boyfriends who all both wanted to be virgins when they got married. And we would go out on double dates. And
the boys wanted to be
the
virgins.
Boys wanted to be virgins. And it was like, okay, fine. You know, and you're young and the hormones are there, definitely. And it's like, okay, what are we going to do with this? and her and I would literally play footsies when we'd be out on a double date. And the guys were just, you know, wherever they were with things. And then we'd come back to the dorm and we had these bolsters. And so the guys would, you know, go to sleep over. And as long as there were four of us, then that was okay. But they'd get into these great snores. And we'd be down on the in the middle, you know, just listening and making sure they were still snoring as we got to know one another. But it kind of started in a wrestling match of sexual tension, you have to say. Then we moved out of the dorm and we lived together probably about 5 years, her and I. But we always kept the front up. This was 1971, so the psychiatric ban had not been lifted. So being out was dangerous. But by 73, coming out was something that we were both kind of exploring, but it was something I was more willing to do than Leslie was at the time. She had been exposed to, what was it, her mother had given her The Well of Loneliness when she was 13 years old to read, where they commit suicide in the end. And that was her exposure to what it would be like if you became a lesbian. And she had inklings of her. Obviously, the mother had inklings. Mm. But so it was a little bit more tenuous for her to come out than it was for myself. But that's how I came out. Mm-hmm. First two people I ever slept with were both Leslie. You know, which was a very interesting kind of thing. It's like, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. Were you both accepted by your families?
Not at the get-go, no.
So yeah, not for me either at first.
Yeah.
My father, when I told him, was we were fishing in a lake, and it was very quiet and still. And I saw him tense in his shoulders, and then he relaxed. And when we came back in, he said, I think I can be okay with this, he said, but is it okay that we don't share it with everybody else in the family? So he was just sort of absorbing it. My mother, because my parents have been separated since I was very young, she seemed to be okay with it. But my mother kind of lived in another world too. But as it went, I would say it was okay. And I'm fortunate that I had two siblings, and one of them is also gay, a brother of mine. Hmm. So,
were you aware of him and his gayness when you were
growing up? I was, and I was able to actually come to him before I was even really out or involved and say, you know, it's okay where you're at and who you're with. You know, mm-hmm. I love you for that, and I want you to know that, you know, I'm exploring those same avenues. And our oldest sibling, I would say he's been very accepting as we've gotten older, mm-hmm. probably not initially. Mm-hmm. But since then, I feel a lot of love and support from my family, so mm-hmm. I'm really good with that now. But it had to happen in our later years.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, at first, my father, of course, was the first one to know, and he comes from a very big family from Kansas. What do I want to say? He first really got a good idea that this was not something that was just a trend when I had moved back up to the Bay Area into the Mountain View area, and I became the chairperson for the Gay People's Union at Stanford. It was the first nonprofit in the state of California, Gay Community of Concern. And we had a parent and gay children meeting. And my dad was the only one there, other than the rest of them were mothers that came to this. And he said, you know, well, what about grandchildren? I said, well, I think you're going to have to make your own. You know, it's not, you know, I point blank said, just because I was put on earth doesn't mean that I'm here to bear children. And as a woman, but he was very good about that, and that kind of turned around, and he was very friendly to most of my partners through that time. But I have to say, he really got a very big dose of it when my brother needed to come out and had a health crisis, and he needed to not say what he thought about how my brother was feeling. And so him and I got very close in terms of, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I would like to correct the way that you deal with the situation so that you really do not ostracize your son as well, who was gay. So I think his acceptance came more so around knowing that the two of us were, and that, you know, this was, and times were changing as well, you know.
That's interesting. You both have gay brother.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yep. And my brother's 10 years younger, and yours is how many years older?
Seven and a half
years older. Yeah.
Wow. That's another show.
And they've all met one another.
It is, really.
That's another show, and we'll talk about
brothers
that.
Brothers and sisters, yes.
Yeah, but the time's ticking, and I really want to get in a little bit, Pamela, for you to share about the wonderful retreat you've been talking about. You've shared with us, anyways, the Feminine Power Mastery. So tell us a little bit about that.
That's been a transformative very transformative workshop that I've been involved in for the last 9 months, and actually the 10th next Saturday is the grand finale for this portion. We'll all kind of decide where we want to go from there in terms of the possibilities that are available in furthering the work and you know, just really getting it sunk in. It's been quite life-changing for me in terms of really reconciling things of my past, the different people, parents included, and those different circumstances that were very difficult. I can now place them in a place that's not so victim-oriented. I also feel that I've walked away with many tools that I can always dip into to if I feel myself contracting or wanting to isolate or pull away, or just return to old behaviors. The other portion of this has been just the huge sense of community among 400 women from 40 different countries. And there's been 10 of us, our pod, Phoenix Rising, that have been meeting for, I want to say since June, and talking every Monday on the phone. And after we end this, we will still continue conference calls and probably getting together. But we never got to meet until this retreat that I went to down in the Berkeley Marina, which was like you've already gone to very deep levels of understanding with one another on and going through this process, and then to meet everybody and then to go through such a exhilarating, joyous, sense of community and belonging. It was just beautiful and wonderful for me. I got nicknamed Joy on Legs because I was just thrilled. I was just absolutely thrilled.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it really Joy was. And Sisters was one of the songs that one of the women got up there and said that we heard this at the Women's Music Festival. If anybody knows this song, come up on stage and sing it with us. And there have been times in my life where I was too shy to even get up on stage and or to show my art. artwork or to do this, that, and the other thing, and to just run up there on stage and go ahead, you know, to me was just really just absolutely fun. Not to mention we did kind of a laugh in on stage where there were four of us that had very distinct laughs. And we got up on stage and we just started laughing and went around the room and put everybody on mic laughing, and it was just a big laugh for all. It was just pretty wonderful. The changes have been tremendous within me, and things that I will take from here, and just beautiful memories, as well as beautiful, wonderful tools that I can always access.
Beautiful. Sounds very powerful. Claudia, I'm curious to what you've noticed since her return, since Pamela returned from the retreat, and, you know.
Well, the first thing I noticed was a real beautiful glow about her. She came home just beaming. I see her stronger. I see her more sure of herself. I feel it's opened doors for her and I to be able to speak better to one another, to have a better understanding. It's made her a stronger person inside, you know, and that I think is hard for each of us as individuals to draw that strength that we're looking for. She, as she said, she took a lot of the things that used to, I think, be fearful for her, and now they become strengths for her, you know. So the workshop really kind of full circle brought her to a place where I can't imagine where she's going to go next. But I'm glad I'm going to be along for the ride. Let's put it that way.
Wow.
That's wonderful. Hey, if somebody's curious about attending this workshop, are they giving it again? And how would they find out about it?
You go to evolvingwisdom.com. There's a number of different facilitators through there. This particular one is called Feminine Power. And that's Claire Zumalt and Catherine Woodward Thomas. On the other hand, Catherine Woodward Thomas did workshops called Calling in the One and has just put out a bestseller called Conscious Uncoupling.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And that just came out within the last couple of days. And so she's been on all kinds of talk shows just recently. And she's one of the people that we were meeting with. They were guests at the retreat. Catherine was, and so was Jean Houston, which is another person who's involved with Evolving Wisdom in more of a, I'm not exactly sure her affiliation, but she was at our workshop, and oh, what a powerful speaker.
So if somebody wants to learn more, evolvingwisdom.com.
Evolvingwisdom.com and Feminine Power. And
thank you so much. And we have to end our show. We have like 2 minutes left. And we always like, I'm so sorry, time goes. But we really do like to give you both a chance to give some words of wisdom or some advice. And we have like 2 minutes left. So could you make it like in 10 words or less or something? Mm-hmm. Just what do you want people to know about life or something that you find important?
Don't lose your sense of humor. Remember to laugh every day. And keep your heart open. And if you have a question, ask it. And don't be afraid to hear what the answer might be, because it might surprise you.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful. Pamela?
I would say be yourself. Be who you are, as flamboyant as that might be, as rowdy as that might be, as loving as that might be. Don't hesitate to be yourself, because that's what changes people.
Beautiful, you two. Lovely sentiments. Thank you so much for being our guests on our show tonight.
It's been lovely.
We would like to remind the listeners that, remember, just like Claudia and Pamela, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can help our community be visible and be seen and embraced as vibrant, proud, and courageous. We'll be back next month. Until then, good night.
Support for Upbeat Radio and KRCB-FM comes from members and from Willow Creek Wealth Management.
Wealth creates options. The independent, fee-only consultants at Willow Creek Wealth Management help you choose better options to meet your goals. Willow Creek Wealth Management, serving the North Bay since 1984. More information is available at willowcreekwealth.com.
Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Sonoma County serve 6,000 members at 33 clubs from Cloverdale to Roanoke Park, enabling young people, especially those most in need, to become caring, productive, responsible citizens. The clubs serve youth daily with programs for academic success, healthy lifestyles, and good character. They'll be the beneficiaries of the upcoming Pinot on the River event happening Sunday, October 25th in Healdsburg. You can learn more at bgccsc.org or by calling 528-7977. And don't forget about the KRCB mobile app. You can listen to KRCB Radio from anywhere in the world with internet access. It's free and available right now for your Apple or Android mobile device. Links to download the apps are available right now at krcb.org.
Still so many answers, I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that to question is how we grow.
To question is to grow.
So I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending.
So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see your play.
You're listening to KRCB-FM Windsor Santa Rosa, Radio 91, online all the time at krcb.org.